There are two steps you can take to fast track your job search and get further in your career on top of listening to the Job Interview Experience podcast. One option is free, one is not. First, sign up for the Job Interview Experience newsletter. It's brand new, it's free, it comes out on Fridays and provides you with resources to help you be a smarter, more effective job seeker. When you sign up, you get a free download of my interview prep ebook. It's awesome. The newsletter contains top content that's too short for the podcast or too up to date, too relevant to today's news to put on the podcast. Along with that, giveaways, national job market insight plus my insight, a funny meme or two to relieve your job search blues. Last Friday, I had a section of advice and insight for video interviews. One of the things I shared is how you can buy a $15 LED ring light for your computer so you look 10 times better during your video interview and all meetings throughout your entire career. Stuff like this and way more. Also, I offer one-on-one interview coaching with listeners. It has been a huge hit and is making an impact on listeners' careers and lives. You can choose how long we meet, from 30 minutes up to an hour and a half, so you can make it work with your time frame and your budget. We can go over your resume, rework it, do a mock interview where I provide feedback after every response, discuss strategy for your specific job situation, and way more. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com and read testimonials from listeners just like you who were struggling and invested their resources to get where they want to be faster. And at jobinterviewexperience.com, you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter and start taking the right steps to take control of your interview and succeed. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or click the link in this episode's description to go check it out. Do you love job interviews or do you hate job interviews? Sam Owens understands completely. His upcoming book, I Hate Job Interviews, actually the title is in all caps, so I think I should yell it. I Hate Job Interviews comes out in June of 2024 and provides simple models for answering any type of job interview question. Sam is a chief marketing officer at Frazzle and the founder of Sam's Career Talk, a career coaching service that helps people get jobs and thrive in them. Sam's 15 years working at four multi-billion dollar companies, as well as smaller private equity backed companies, provides us with insight on the inside of companies and how people get hired and promoted. Today, Sam is sharing a step-by-step preparation process that makes it easy for people to focus on what matters, discard the rest, and get hired. Sam, welcome to the Job Interview Experience.
Matthew, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. And I'm a big fan of the podcast. This is great what you're doing.
Appreciate it. Can you give us a brief career overview and the path that led you to where you are today?
I started my career in consumer goods marketing. So I started marketing frozen pot pies and healthy choice frozen meals. Went on to go into natural and organic food and marketing. And as I was doing that, at a company called White Way Food, they started to get heavily involved in corporate training and mentoring, which led me to be heavily involved in recruiting teams and observing good job interviewers, not so good job interviewers, as well as moving companies myself, and started to see a need in that realm of helping people thrive in their organization. This is before even getting into job interviews. Like, how do people thrive at companies? And I remembered a business school professor saying, hey, you're not going to really use much of what you learned. I wish we had a course here on schmoozing. You need to learn how to schmooze. And he was basically saying, you need to understand the soft skills of a corporation. So that led, actually, while I was working as a corporate executive, to the first book called The Eight Career Skills You Didn't Learn in College. So I wrote that book, skills like managing your manager, presenting, etc. And couldn't get that published traditionally. So I self-published that book. And what I found was one of the chapters started to get a lot of interest. And it was called Evolving, Staying Marketable. And it was all about job interviews. And that specific chapter was pretty much the most valuable chapter to people in the book. And that turned into another book proposal about only job interviews. And that's what actually got HarperCollins interested in why the book is out now. So that process led me to start my own consulting agency called Sam's Career Talk, where I work with clients to help them get jobs, to help them thrive in jobs, focused primarily on job interviewing skills, and have been doing that now for about 7 years. And in between that time, my day job side, I've gone from the Dan and Yogurt Company to a small cauliflower pizza crust company. And now I work for a slushy company called Frazzle. We sell slushies at convenience stores. So I do Sam's Career Talk. And then by day, I do marketing and run marketing for a slushy company.
I've always noticed a lot of overlap between sales and marketing and presentation and job interviews. And I talk about in other episodes, if you take a sales approach as a candidate, and I think two things there is, one is being proactive instead of passive. And the other is how to pitch yourself instead of, I want to work here, I want to be at this location, I want this job title. It's solving a problem like a good salesperson does. I can do this That's for right. you. I can do this for you. There's so much from marketing and sales that trickles down into the process for good job candidates. What are some patterns you've noticed in successful job candidates from your corporate career?
I look at a successful job candidate. People always ask me, and I should admit, I'm a first-class recovering job interview hater myself. Okay, so that part of the reason for this is I've had some really bad flops myself in job interviewing, and I just by vowing not to have that happen to me again, enabled me to understand the process of job interviewing very well and help other people. And so when I think about candidates that are really dialed in, really ready, a lot of people say, what's one thing I could do to differentiate myself? And I usually say, I hate to break it to you, the one thing is everything. I mean, you could just tell when they're prepared, when they're ready, when they're confident. But if I had to boil it down, what's something that the really buttoned up candidates do that I don't see is they practice their job interviewing skills. They don't just prepare. They practice for at least a couple hours. They do mock interviews. And you think about sometimes when I've been in interviews and I said, oh my gosh, I just fumbled that. I would love to do that over. You can do it over. You can practice it and then you can actually do it over the next time. And so I think about business schools and other organizations that use a Socratic method. Why do they use a Socratic method in asking questions? Because it makes you think. And when you answer something and you sound like an idiot, you don't want to sound like an idiot again. So you really think about it the next time. And so practicing your job interviews allows you to sound like an idiot in a safe environment. And then it allows you to be better the next time. And so I actually think it's amazing how many people don't practice. It's almost like, man, your kids practice football for 3 hours a day and that's not going to get them anywhere. Or at least that's going to end in high school, but this is the rest of your life. This hour could affect how you spend every day for the next decade. And so putting in a couple hours of good mock interviews makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I think most job interviews, there's just a number of mistakes you're going to make. Maybe it's 5, maybe it's 10. Get those out during your mock interview.
And get it done.
Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect during your interview because we're humans and we're never going to be perfect. You can make those mistakes the first time, but that first time doesn't have to be during your job interview. And I think receiving questions on the spot, I've done plenty of interview coaching and I've interviewed a lot of people and I've had people during real life interviews say things like, hey, can I start that over? Yeah. There's something about being asked on the spot that makes you think about the question differently. There's something about the pressure. And so not only are you practicing and smoothing things out, you're also thinking on the spot of how is this question going to be received? What does this sound like coming out of my mouth? Or what's happening with the person on the other side while I'm saying this? Are they starting to look around or lose interest? Is this too long? Is this too short? Right. So all these little things add up that there's just something about practicing it, especially with someone else, that makes a difference.
That's right. There's a scene, there's a movie Hit. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Will Smith, but there's this scene in there where he messes something up really bad with the girl he likes. And then he looks at another guy afterwards and he goes, I saw that going differently in my mind. And if interviewing is just like that, we see it. We think to ourselves, I got it. Yeah. Okay. I think I can navigate that. And then when we actually do it in the interview, we're thinking, oh, not as easy as I thought. If I had practiced this, I would have been in much better shape. And when I work with clients, the difference I see between zero mock interviews and one mock interview, like when they come in for the first mock interview and afterwards they go, oh, that was terrible. And I say, yeah, it was. And then they come back for the second one. The difference is night and day. Just after one mock interview, the difference is incredible.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's just you're retraining your brain. And if you can sleep on it and spend some time process that, it makes a big difference. Which interview questions do you see people struggle with the most? And how do you think they should answer them versus how they answer them?
Yeah, great question. The biggest struggle I see, if I can, I'll pick two. The first would be like a scenario-based or a case question, which I'll talk about. And the second would be behavioral question. The behavioral questions typically are the bulk of the interview, and people typically practice those and are more prepared for those. Those questions are, tell me about a time when. And the way people typically box those is that when someone says, tell me about a time when, you really need to tell them about a specific time when you did something. And a mediocre interviewer, if you say, tell me about a time when you showed leadership ability, a mediocre answer would typically say something like, yeah, I always, as a leader, I have an open door policy. I really think it's important to be a good leader. Here are my leadership principles. A great interview answer would be to tell a specific time. Yeah. The other day I was actually in a situation where, now let me tell you about it. Because those specific, they ask for a specific thing, first of all. And second of all, it's the specific answers that really prove that you have those abilities, not the general platitudes and generality. And so you really need to tell a story that proves that. The second thing I would say as it relates to those answers is they need to think about it as if it's a Disney movie. If you look at any Disney movie, there's this hero who encounters this problem, who spends most of the movie doing amazing things to solve the problem. And in the end, it works out perfectly. And that's really how you want to create the drama throughout your narrative. Hey, I was put in this, given this task or this situation. Let me tell you now about what I did to solve it. 1, 2, 3. And by the way, in the end, it worked out amazingly well. And so if they can create that narrative that is almost like a Disney movie, they typically can do really well in those questions. So that's behavioral-based questions. When it comes to case questions, these are totally different in that they present the opportunity for you to get really lost. So when you think about a behavioral question, they're asking you to go back in time and take me through like a movie scene, a specific thing. A scenario question is asking you to almost go on an exploration and look into the future. And the challenge with that, with any exploration, is the challenge of getting lost. The risk of getting lost is really high, where someone says, hey, I want you to think through what a good marketing strategy might look like for my company. And you latch on to what the first thing is, social media. Yeah, I think you need to think through social media, and I would do this and that and the other thing. And then pretty soon you look back and you look around and you think, I've gone down a path and I have no way how to get out of this problem, this where to go. And so these people who answer these questions tend to have, they tend to back up and have a framework. I call it the home base framework, where they take a step back and they say, I would think about the market strategy in terms of what matters for your consumer. So that's like their home base. And then they can explore paths off of the home base, but they can always have that safe thing of coming back to the consumer. So if their home base is the consumer, then you say, the consumer might care about how we show up on social media. And then you can talk about social media a little bit and explore that. And then you come back to the home base and you say, okay, and the consumer might also care about billboard advertising. And then you can explore that. And then you can come back to your home base. And so the people that answer those scenario questions are able to take a step back, create a home base for themselves, and logically map out how they answer it versus just jump down a path immediately and wind up getting themselves lost.
Not only is that home base idea good, but the way you said that too, reflecting back on, say, consumers or their business, a mistake a lot of people make during their interview, and they might have a great answer, they might have a great strategy, but they say, I would do this on LinkedIn and I would do this on Instagram. And I would, instead of saying the company's goal isn't for you to have an awesome marketing campaign. That's good, but the outcome is sales. The outcome is new business.
Yeah.
And so saying the consumer's this, we see this as a revenue generating thing. You can say, I would set up this revenue cycle, whatever it would be. When you can say that to companies, they understand that you understand their problem. Their problem isn't whether or not to hire you. Their problem is finding someone who can. And it's not always about sales. Obviously, it depends on your role. But when you understand their bottom line and their needs, and like you did when you were going through that answer, you can integrate that into your answer. Those are people that are going to help the company move forward and hopefully, you know, generate revenue, increase whatever it is they're looking to do. Or the other side of that, depending on your role, might be saving money. It might not be anything about consumers. It might be in a finance or accounting role, whatever. You might just have ways as even someone who physically makes a product saying, I think we can actually save time and cost doing it this way that I've discovered that I want to tell you about during our interview or that I've seen work. Instead of I, that all of a sudden people are saying, wow, this person's really thinking about our business. This is the type of person that helps us, especially on the ground floor, get a bigger view of what works or what doesn't. So with these concepts that you have, if someone only had a couple of hours to prepare for their job interview, what do you think they should focus on?
One of the things that has been helpful when preparing quickly for job interviews is thinking like a politician. And let me tell you what I mean by that. A lot of people try to approach job interviews like, I want to prepare for the 1,000 questions that could be asked of me, and I'm going to figure out how to answer every one. There's actually books like that, 101 interview questions or whatever, and they go through it and they try to craft an answer to every single question. I think that should be reversed. I think you should come up with your 4 to 5 power stories and power examples of why you're awesome and why you're a perfect fit for the job. And I think you should get good at just tweaking that a little bit, depending on the question that you're asked. And that's the biggest difference in what I teach, is that I don't think you need to prepare for more. I usually say 10 hours if you really want to nail it, but even a couple hours can make a big difference. But I teach really a proactive approach where you should create the stories of why you're awesome and then learn how to bridge that in the moment when you're asking. So if you're like, hey, I did this amazing leadership thing, and let me tell you about it. Now, when someone that could potentially be an answer to tell me about your leadership ability, tell me about a time when you dealt with a difficult coworker, tell me about a time when you had to lead a complex project, tell me about a time when you had to think strategically. That one story, just with a few small tweaks, could potentially answer really any of those questions. It's just a much more efficient way of preparing than, okay, now I have to create custom responses to each of those questions.
If you're tired of copy and pasting your resume information into every job application, wasting 10, 20 minutes applying for each role, you can save a ton of time, apply to more roles, and use a resume template that works with applicant tracking system and plugs all of your information, dates worked, job titles, company name, experience, all of that. You can purchase that ATS-friendly resume template that I created and tested at jobinterviewexperience.com. If you need to nail an interview, don't waste an opportunity with answers that don't connect and hurt your candidacy. I offer one-on-one interview training, mock interviews, career strategy, resume work, and more. You can book a session for 30, 45, or 60 minutes at jobinterviewexperience.com and receive the same impact and insight that is making a huge difference for job seekers just like you who use my interview and career training. Finally, my weekly newsletter goes beyond the podcast with short video content, best practices, industry updates on job openings in the playing field, links to top resources, and more. My newsletter has quickly become a top resource for job seekers that want to get hands-on and fast track their careers. Just like everything else, you go to jobinterviewexperience.com, enter your email address for the weekly newsletter. It's free and it's your partner for navigating the job search and fast tracking your career. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com for everything I just talked about.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
I love that. Can you share a little bit more about what your interview preparation methods look like with clients?
Yes. I actually start, and the book actually follows this exact preparation method. I start by saying, okay, I want you to take 3 hours in the preparation phase. And it typically starts with developing those power stories. It starts with what I say, get inside information. So I said, I want you to go get inside information. This isn't financial trading. This isn't illegal. This is actually encouraged. I want you to think like a criminal inside trader here. And I want you to go on LinkedIn and reach out to anyone who knows anything about the company and ask for just 15 minutes and just pick their brain about it. Not the person that's going to interview you, but just anyone who knows anything about the company and just learn what you need to know. Because a lot of times you'll learn more in those conversations than you will by searching anything online. So close the laptop, pick up the phone, and actually talk to people. Then use that to craft your power stories and why your stories are amazing, why you're a great fit for the job. So that's the foundation of how I recommend to start the preparation. And then I go through the critical questions. Okay, number one, you got to nail the introductory question. That's the question where they say, tell me about yourself. I say, you got to reframe that. They're actually asking, tell me why you are an amazing fit for this job. And do so by walking me through each of your experiences, telling me why they're a fit, and then tell me how you got to this point in a way that makes it feel like you really want this job and you really will do well in this job. That's what they mean by tell me about yourself. So that first question we work on a lot to start out with momentum. Then we go through the behavioral-based questions. Then we go through the scenario question. And then we probably, typically depending on time, we'll go through some maybe creativity or wacky questions or even an illegal question or two. I'd say, what happens if they ask me this illegal question? So maybe some sticky point. But it always starts with that preparation, getting inside information, developing your power stories, practicing, knowing that introductory behavioral and scenario questions are going to be the bulk of what you're going to be asked.
Why did you write I Hate Job Interviews?
I think it was personal vindication. I think it was a personal experience. I can remember distinctly in my first year of business school thinking, you know what? I'll be fine because I feel like I'm reasonably charismatic. I feel like I can do a good job. I'm a good conversationalist. And I think I'll be fine. And I realized pretty quickly that job interviewing is a learned skill that doesn't really have much to do with how good at conversations you are. Maybe a little bit, but it's actually more of a learned skill. It's almost like if you're a dancer, someone would say, it's the difference between having rhythm and knowing the steps to the waltz. That's the difference between being a charismatic, likable person and being really good at job interviewing. And I learned that hard. I actually had an interview with Nestle, and I thought I was doing pretty well. And I think I was doing pretty well until she asked me, all right, you're the new brand manager for Butterfinger, and I want you to tell me what you're going to do now that your business is down 10%. What are you going to look at and how are you going to evaluate that? And it was just a complete flop. I did so bad on that question that she basically stopped the interview afterwards and said, yeah, you didn't pass. You're not going to the next level. And that was like a moment in my life where I thought, okay, I got to get this dialed in because I'm going to be interviewing for the rest of my life. Average person changes job, 7-10 times in their career? I'm going to be doing this my whole career. So I better get good at this. And I did. I put in the effort to get good at it and realized that anyone could get really good at it with the right training and the right amount of effort. It's not actually rocket science. As Kung Fu Panda Po says, or his dad, there is no secret ingredient, right? In the soup. There's no secret ingredient. It's hard work. It's training and it's understanding. And I thought I can write this book and help people figure this out.
Who should not buy I Hate Interviews, and who do you think will benefit most from I Hate Interviews?
I think the people who shouldn't buy it are people who don't want to ever be in the workforce. In other words, I think it's valuable to people at any stage because you never know when you're going to need a job or need to switch jobs. So I work with people that are right out of school, and I work with people who are actually at my level, who are on the job market, and they never thought they would be on the job market. And there, it's almost, forgive the crude analogy, it's almost like getting divorced at when you're 45 and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, like I've been out of the game for so long. I can't go to the clubs and meet people. Like I don't know how to do this. It's been so long. And so people who are in that situation will find this book really beneficial as a refresher and as a way to get back in the game. But I would say who is the actual person who like I thought about when writing this, it would be that young kind of junior ambitious professional who's trying to continue to grow in their careers. College students find it useful, but they don't know how hard it is yet.
Yeah.
to actually interview. They're not aware of how hard it is. It's the person who's been in the workforce for 5-10 years that's, oh, this is actually competitive and difficult. And so I need something to help give me a leg up when I go interview. Those are the people I think who are going to really benefit from this book.
When I speak with younger folks, especially in college or right out of college, the pattern I see, and this isn't everybody, but a lot of people say, I'll just woo them. I'm on top of the world and they'll like me. And I know I don't have the best skills because I'm right out of college. And I always say, you're thinking about this like a first date where you have good chemistry and things do go right. What if you don't have good chemistry with the interviewer, which happens and you can't change? You can work on it a little bit, but then you just have to interview well. You just have to prove at that point.
That's right.
And so, and there's people at all age levels that kind of think, oh, I make friends easily and this and that. That doesn't get you as far as you think it will. Or sometimes it'll be the opposite and you'll be staring at someone that it might just seem like they hate you. And you have to win them over with your skills, because there's some people, they're never going to like you and be your best friend after you meet at the job interview. There are very few good job interview books out there. There's very few. And I think I Hate Interviews will be a cornerstone. I'd encourage listeners to check out the book. It's coming out soon. Read some reviews and just consider that it is something that takes work, and it's not the fun type of work, but the people who do it, you see them get further in their career. I want to ask you, Sam, with your background in marketing, have you come across any creative applications or applicants that did something outside the box that actually pulled it off?
Yeah, good question. One quick comment on what you said. It's so true. Like when they say, I'll just woo people, yeah, you will. You woo them by being awesome and being really prepared and doing a really good job. When someone says, just be yourself, I'm like, what self is that? Like myself, like an hour ago, I was yelling at my kids to get out the door to school. I don't want to be that self when I'm in an interview. So it depends on what self you mean. I want to be my best self, my most prepared self. And I think it was Steve Martin who said, when he was talking about a stand-up comedy career, you have to be so good that they can't ignore you. And I really like that. So anyway, your question around creative application, I think different jobs sometimes lend themselves to more creative application.
Like marketing.
Yeah, marketing. I think certain design, people who have portfolios and stuff like that, who want to show their work, I think is really important. But the people that I've seen that have, and I don't know if this would be considered outside the box, I tell my clients to do this every time. When I have a great interview with someone, wow, that person was great. And then I get a note in my inbox from an old friend that's saying, hey, I hear you're interviewing with so-and-so. That person is amazing. That means a person I just interviewed with talked to that person, had a great conversation with that person, and persuaded that person to give me a recommendation. So now, not only did I have a great interview with that person, but I got other sources telling me that person's awesome because they did that work. And now it just de-risked the whole proposition for me. It's like my confidence level just went from 75% to 95% that this person's going to be great.
I know you have a lot on LinkedIn and a lot of resources. I think if people are enjoying this show, they'll get a different angle, which is good from you. They do from me, and you cover topics that I don't as well. What's the best way to connect with you, start the conversation, or watch some of your videos?
I am a LinkedIn junkie, so connect with me on LinkedIn for sure. That's my primary platform. samscareertalk.com is the website where you can get a lot of my free materials and interview guides and such. And that's also where you can sign up for my email list. So I have a weekly Friday email where I send career advice for those looking for jobs, but also for those in jobs. That's the best way for us to keep in touch.
Sam, before we close, can you send us off with a piece of advice or encouragement?
If you take the time to practice, I promise that you'll be happy you did. You can do it. I know you can. If you don't think you're good at interviewing, you are. You just haven't tested and practiced and done the work. You will be good at interviewing, and I'm confident. And I'm confident in that because every client I've worked with has become great at job interviewing after I worked with them, not necessarily because of me, but because they had someone that they could be held accountable with, that someone that held them accountable rather. And I am confident anyone listening can get the job they want if they put in the work and practice.
Sam Owens, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on the upcoming launch of your book, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Matthew.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.